much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale.
Welcome to Poets Corner. I'm your Sun Sounds for Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Since I recently shared T.S. Eliot's Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, it seems only fair to honor dogs this week. So I'll be reading from Dog Songs by Massachusetts poet Mary Oliver, who received many awards over the years, including the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 1984. I would like to dedicate today's show to a little Boston Terrier named Pearl and a large standard poodle named Gracie. I'll start today with a poem called How It Begins. A puppy is a puppy is a puppy. He's probably in a basket with a bunch of other puppies. Then he's a little older, and he's nothing but a bundle of longing. He doesn't even understand it. Then someone picks him up and says, I want this one. How it is with us and how it is with them. We become religious, then we turn from it. Then we are in need and maybe we turn back. We turn to making money. Then we turn to the moral life. Then we think about money again. We meet wonderful people, but lose them in our busyness. We're, as the saying goes, all over the place. Steadfastness, it seems, is more about dogs than about us. One of the reasons we love them so much. If you are holding this book, you may not agree. You may not care, but if you are holding this book, you should know that of all the sights I love in this world, and there are plenty, very near the top of the list is this one, dogs without leashes. Every dog's story. I have a bed, my very own. It's just my size, and sometimes I like to sleep alone with dreams inside my eyes. But sometimes dreams are dark and wild and creepy, and I wake and am afraid, though I don't know why. But I'm no longer sleepy, and too slowly the hours drag by. So I climb on the bed, where the light of the moon is shining on your face. And I know it will be morning soon. Everybody needs a safe place. The storm with Bear. Now through the white orchard, my little dog romps, breaking the new snow with wild feet, running here, running there, excited. Hardly able to stop, he leaps, he spins, until the white snow is written upon in large, exuberant letters, a long sentence expressing the pleasures of the body in this world. Oh, I could not have said it better myself. Conversations. Number one. Said Bear, I know I'm supposed to keep my eye on you, but it's difficult the way you lag behind and keep talking to people. Well, how can you be keeping your eye on me when you're half a mile ahead? True, said Bear, but I'm thinking of you all the time. Two. I had to go away for a few days, so I called the kennel and made an appointment. I guess Bear overheard the conversation. Love and company, said Bear, are the adornments that change everything. I know they'll be nice to me, but I'm sad, sad, sad. and pitifully he wrung his paws. I canceled the trip. Luke's Junkyard Song.
I was born in a junkyard, not even on a bundle of rags or the seat of an old wrecked car, but the dust below. But when my eyes opened, I could crawl to the edge and see the moving grass and the trees. And this I began to dream on, though the worms were eating me. And at night, through the twists of metal, I could see a single star. One, not even two. Its light was a thing of wonder, and I learned something precious that would also be good for you. Though the worms keep biting and pinching, I fell in love with this star. I stared at it every night, that light so clear and far. Listen, a junkyard puppy learns quickly how to dream. Listen, wherever you see and love, that's where you are. Luke.
I had a dog who loved flowers. Briskly she went through the fields, yet paused for the honeysuckle or the rose, her dark head and her wet nose touching the face of every one with its petals of silk, with its fragrance rising into the air, where the bees, their bodies heavy with pollen, hovered. And easily she adored every blossom. Not in the serious, careful way that we choose this blossom or that blossom. The way we praise or don't praise. The way we love or don't love. But the way we long to be. That happy in the heaven of earth. That wild, that loving.
Her grave.
She would come back, dripping thick water from the green bog. She would fall at my feet and would draw the black skin from her gums in a hideous and wonderful smile. And I would rub my hands over her ears and her cunning elbows, and I would hug the barrel of her body, amazed at the unassuming perfect arch of her neck. It took four of us to carry her into the woods. We did not think of music, but anyway, it began to rain slowly. Her great and lordly satisfaction at having chased something. My great and lordly satisfaction at her splash of happiness as she barged through the pitch pines, swiping my face with her wild, slightly mossy tongue. Does the hummingbird think he himself invented his crimson throat? He is wiser than that, I think. A dog lives 15 years, if you're lucky. Do the cranes crying out in the high clouds think it is all their own music? A dog comes to you and lives with you in your own house, but you do not therefore own her, as you do not own the rain, or the trees, or the laws which pertain to them. Does the bear wandering in the autumn up the side of the hill think all by herself she has imagined the refuge and the refreshment of her long slumber? A dog can never tell you what she knows from the smells of the world, but you know, watching her, that you know almost nothing. Does the water snake, with his backbone of diamonds, think the black tunnel on the bank of the pond
as a place of his own making? She roved ahead of me through the fields, yet would come back, or wait for me, or be somewhere. Now she is buried under the pines. Nor will I argue it, pray for anything but modesty, and not to be angry. Through the trees there is the sound of the wind palavering, the smell of the pine needles, which is it but a taste of the infallible energies? How strong was her dark body? How apt is her grave place? How beautiful is her unshakable sleep? Finally, the slick mountains of love break over us. Benjamin, who came from who knows where. What shall I do? When I pick up the broom, he leaves the room. When I fuss with kindling, he runs for the yard. Then he's back, and we hug for a long time. In his low-to-the-ground chest, I can hear his heart slowing down. Then I rub his shoulders and his feet and fondle his long hound ears. Benny, I say, don't worry. I also know the way the old life haunts the new. The dog has run off again, Benjamin. And I should start shouting his name and clapping my hands. But it has been raining all night, and the narrow creek has risen. And it is a tawny turbulence rushing along over the mossy stones, surging forward with a sweet, loopy music. And therefore, I don't want to entangle it with my own voice, calling, summoning my little dog to hurry back. Look, the sunlight and the shadows are chasing each other. Listen, how the wind swirls and leaps and dives up and down. Who am I to summon his hard and happy body, his four white feet that love to wheel and pedal through the dark leaves, to come back to walk by my side, obedient? Holding on to Benjamin. No use to tell him that he and the raccoon are brothers. You have your soft ideas about nature. He has others. And they are full of his white teeth and lip that curls sometimes horribly. You love this earnest dog, but you also admire the raccoon, and Lord help you in your place of hope and improbables. To the black-masked gray one, run, you say. And just as urgently to the dog, stay. And he won't, or he will, depending on more things than I could name. He's sure he's right. And you, so tangled in your mind, are wrong, though patient and pacific. And you are downcast. And it's his eyes, not yours, that are clear and bright. The poetry teacher. The university gave me a new, elegant classroom to teach in. Only one thing, they said, you can't bring your dog. It's in my contract, I said. I had made sure of that. We bargained, and I moved to an old classroom in an old building. Propped the door open, kept a bowl of water in the room. I could hear Ben, among other voices, barking, howling in the distance. Then they would all arrive. Ben, his pals, maybe an unknown dog or two, all of them thirsty and happy. They drank. They flung themselves down among the students. The students loved it. They all wrote thirsty, happy poems. Little Dog's Rhapsody
in the night.
He puts his cheek against mine and makes small, expressive sounds. And when I'm awake, or awake enough, he turns upside down, his four paws in the air, and his eyes dark and fervent. "Tell me you love me," he says. "Tell me again." Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Over and over, he gets to ask. I get to tell.
Bazoogie.
Where goes he now? That dark little dog who used to come down the road barking and shining. He's gone now, from the world of particulars, the singular, the visible. So that deepest sting, sorrow. Still, is he gone from us entirely? Or is he a part of that other world everywhere? Come with me into the woods where spring is advancing. And as it does, no matter what, not being singular or particular, but one of the forever gifts, and certainly visible. See how the violets are opening, and the leaves unfolding, the streams gleaming, and the birds singing. What does it make you think of? His shining curls, his honest eyes, his beautiful barking. Percy. Our new dog, named for the beloved poet, ate a book which, unfortunately, we had left unguarded. But fortunately, it was the Bhagavad Gita, of which many copies are available. Every day now, as Percy grows into the beauty of his life, we touch his wild curly head and say, "O wisest of little dogs." School. You're like a little wild thing that was never sent to school. "Sit," I say, "and you jump up." "Come," I say, "and you go galloping down the sand to the nearest dead fish with which you perfume your sweet neck." It is summer. How many summers does a little dog have? Run, run, Percy. This is our school. Time passes. And now Percy is getting brazen.
"Let's go down to the beach, baby," he says. "Let's shake it with a little barking. Let's find some dead things and explore them by mouth, if possible. Or maybe the leavings of Paul's horse." After which, forgive me for mentioning it, he is fond of kissing. Ah, this is the thing that comes to each of us. The child grows up, and according to our own ideas, is practically asunder. I understand it. I struggle to celebrate. I say with stiff upper lip, familiar to many, "Just look at that curly-haired child now. He's his own man." Untitled. Just before Percy had his operation, he had one long rendezvous with a little dog named Penny. As it happened, there was no result. But oh, how Percy smiled and smiled all the way home. Percy wakes me. Percy wakes me and I am not ready. He has slept all night under the covers. Now he's eager for action, a walk, then breakfast. So I hasten up. He is sitting on the kitchen counter where he is not supposed to be. "How wonderful you are," I say. "How clever if you needed me to wake me." He thought he would hear a lecture, and deeply his eyes began to shine. He tumbles onto the couch for more compliments. He squirms and squeals. He has done something that he needed, and now he hears that it is okay. I scratch his ears. I turn him over. He is wild with the okayness of it. Then we walk. Then he has breakfast, and he is happy. This is a poem about Percy. But this is a poem about more than Percy. Think about it. The sweetness of dogs. What do you say, Percy? I'm thinking of sitting out on the sand to watch the moon rise. It's full tonight. So we go. And the moon rises. So beautiful, it makes me shudder. Makes me think about time and space. Makes me take measure of myself. One iota, pondering heaven. Then we sit, myself thinking how grateful I am for the moon's perfect beauty, and also, oh, how rich it is to love the world. Percy, meanwhile, leans against me and gazes up into my face, as though I were just as wonderful as the perfect moon. Percy speaks while I am doing taxes. First of all, I do not want to be doing this. Second of all, Percy does not want me to be doing this. Bent over the desk like a besieged person with a dull pencil and innumerable lists of numbers. Outside, the water is blue, the sky is clear, the tide rising. Percy, I say, this has to be done. This is essential. I'll be finished, eventually.
Keep me in your thoughts, he replies. Just because I can't count to 10 doesn't mean I don't remember yesterday or anticipate today. I'll give you 10 more minutes.
And he does. Then shouts. Who could resist? His favorite words. Let's go! For I will consider my dog, Percy. For I will consider my dog, Percy, for he was made small, but brave of heart. For if he met another dog, he would kiss her in kindness. For when he slept, he only snored a little. For he could be silly and noble in the same moment. For when he spoke, he remembered the trumpet, and when he scratched, he struck the floor like a drum. For he ate only the finest food and drank only the purest of water, yet would nibble of dead fish also. For he came to me impaired and therefore certain of a short life, yet thoroughly rejoiced in each day. For he took his medicines without argument. For he played easily with the neighborhood's big bull mastiff. For when he came upon mud, he splashed through it. For he was an instrument for the children to learn benevolence upon. For he listened to poems, as well as love talk. For when he sniffed it, was if he were being pleased by every part of the world. And when he sickened, he rallied as many times as he could. For he was a mixture of gravity and waggery. For we humans can seek self-destruction in ways he never dreamed of. For he took actions both cunning and reckless, yet refused always to offer himself to be admonished. For his sadness, though without words, was understandable. For there was nothing sweeter than his peace when at rest. For there was nothing brisker than his life when in motion, for he was of the tribe of Wolf. For when I went away, he would watch for me at the window. For he loved me.
for he suffered before I found him, and never forgot it. For he loved Anne. For when he lay down to enter sleep, he did not argue about whether or not God made him. For he could fling himself upside down and laugh a true laugh. For he loved his friend Ricky. For he would dig holes in the sand and then let Ricky lie in them. For often I see his shape in the clouds, and this is a continual blessing. Thank you for listening to Poet's Corner as we shared the poetry from Mary Oliver's little book, Dog Songs. I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy.
I've always dreamed of having a friend that loves me like you do. You wake up happy every morning and take away my blues. We could spend the day in bed or explore the seven seas. I don't care what we do, darling, as long as you're with me.
Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.